You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Stephen Powell, Andrew Mount and Gary Capewell in the studio. Three national hunt meetings on Thursday afternoon. Well, hopefully anyway, providing the weather doesn't get in the way, with Fontwell, Kelso and Leicester on the agenda. We also have evening racing on the all-weather pulley track at Chelmsford City, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm extremely well. I'm rather sickened by the weather that we continue to have. God blimey, I need wet feet to travel around Pimlott Towers now. It's been dreadful again this morning. And again, you can see why there's so many inspections ahead of tomorrow and the weekend, because the ground is so saturated that it just cannot take any more.
It cannot. But let's look at brighter things, Pimmy, and hopefully the weather will be a bit drier in April when we have the Grand National.
Oh, let's hope so. I thought you were going to burst into song there. Always look on the bright side.
It did cross
life.
My mind. It did.
Did it really?
No, it didn't really.
Oh, no, it wouldn't do.
No. The Grand National weights were revealed on Tuesday afternoon, and on the back of that, there was quite a move in the market for Holywell, who's now 20-1 in the market. And Sir Anthony McCoy, who's ridden Holywell on a number of occasions, obviously knows the John Joe O'Neill runners quite well. He believes that at the weights, Holywell would have a big chance.
Not for me.
No?
Not for me. Again, yes, admittedly, the handicap has given him a chance at the weights, but I'm not so sure he's entirely in love with the game, to be fair. His form has been in and out. And again, I'm not exactly sure when he last won, but I'm sure we're looking back a little time since he did get his head in front and get into that winner's enclosure. So for me, although the handicap has given him a chance, I wouldn't have been looking at 25-1. I'd be wanting an awful lot bigger price than that for him. Have we got any details when he last won?
Holywell's last win was at Kelso in the Ivan Straker Memorial Chase, which actually happens on Thursday.
Yeah, that's a year ago.
A year ago, yeah.
Yeah, when he would have been a short price favourite, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when they were talking of him going to the Gold Cup.
Yeah, and he had beat nothing that day, and he struggled.
Mm. Then finished fourth in the Gold Cup, third at Aintree, respectable enough efforts. But his last win of note was at the Grand National meeting when he won the Mildmay Novices Chase.
Yes, that's
going
back
in 2014.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he's had to ply his trade at the big top table on a number of occasions, but still not for me. Still not for me. I hope I'm not going to have to eat humble pie over that one, but he wouldn't be on my shortlist, that's for sure.
Yeah. I just wonder if the bigger fences will keep him interested, and he's always better in the spring with spring ground, and he hasn't had that.
That'll be definitely a positive for him, yeah. Again, well, I think, and this might be an old cliche, but they either love those Aintree fences or they don't take to them.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a chance you've got to take with him. But as I say, I'm not so sure that he's entirely in love with the game at the minute. And if that's the case, then I'd say he's more than likely, in my opinion, not going to take to them rather than to take to them.
OK, let's talk about some others in the Grand National end. Many Clouds, last year's winner, defending champion, if you like. He's been given top weight of 11 stone, £10, bidding to become the first horse since Red Rum in 1974 to win the race for a second time. He's 12-1 at the top of the market, and given his exploits this season, Pimmy, he's come out of the Grand National better than a lot of recent winners.
Well, I think that's the big plus as far as Many Clouds is concerned, that he come out the race. He's won since. Not many of the previous Grand National winners have come back to win again. So, you know, he's sort of put that taboo behind him. It's not an easy task to do it, but according to Oliver Sherwood, his trainer, really, last year was a punt. They didn't think he would be physically strong enough and mentally strong enough to get the job done. And he has proved that that was the case. He could manage it. And again, if he's in the same heart that he was in April of last year, then he definitely comes there with a big chance. Big, big ask to get back-to-back wins. And as she quite rightly said, 74 when Red Rum done it. You know, we're going back a long, long time to see it again. And I again, have never been really sure that it can be done, if you know what I mean. Mm. So although he's ticking a lot of boxes, I think that box at the end says back-to-back Grand National winners. I think we put an X there.
Okay. Others in the race on Pimmy, what
yeah,
you want to mention?
A couple more I'd like to mention, if I may. The Druid's nephew, he was travelling really well when he came down at Valentine's on the second circuit last year. Neil Mulholland's trained him specifically for the race this year. I'd certainly be interested in him, and he's currently a 20-1 chance with us here at Hills. The last summer, right, he's a real interesting horse. Gone from Donald McCain to Kim Bailey. Put in a real gutsy performance to win last time out, and he jumped really well on that occasion. I think he's definitely a player, and again, we've got him at 25-1. And of the Irish ones, I thought that was interesting was Uccello Conti, the Gordon Elliott horse. He's done really well in a couple of competitive handicaps in his native Ireland this year, and again, he could be an interesting player, and we've currently got him at 33s. And the other one that I'm really interested in, Evan Williams, always seems to find one to run well in the big race in April, and he's got buy-wise this year. And I remember reading a quote from his owner, Hewell Jones, that the horse's tactics are going to be, because he's not the best jumper in the world,
yeah,
find the gaps in the hedges and make his best of his way home.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure who the jockey is, but it wouldn't instill me with a great deal of confidence going out to ride the Grand National. And the owner saying, just find the gaps in the hedges and ride your race on the second circuit. But he's biggest price athlete, and he has got a bit of ability. And whether he does take the fences and finds the longer trip to suit him, at 50-1, he might be a bit of value, simply because of the Evan Williams contact there.
Yeah. Paul Maloney will be back for the National.
If he's any sense, he won't be.
Because he's a great jockey in terms of just getting round.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
So if he's looking for the holes in the fences, he's on buy-wise. Yeah. He might have half a squeak of getting
well, exactly. You've got the right man on board and the right trainer as well. So, yeah, he could be an interesting player at a massive price buy-wise. And you could be buying wise.
Yeah, 50-1 at the moment, buy-wise. I'd be worried given the fact that he clouts a fence or two all the way around usually. But
I would, very worried. yeah. I wouldn't sleep the night before if I was riding him, that's for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the Cheltenham Festival as well, Pimmy, before I get stuck into Thursday's racing. Just want to get your thoughts on more of that in the RSA Chase. His trainer, Jonjo O'Neill, he's talking up his chances, saying he is the one to beat in the race. Do you believe
him? I totally agree with you there. I'm just a little bit disappointed that we haven't seen him out lately. There's been one or two press releases regarding his well-being, saying that he's fitting well and we're not running just because of the ground and one thing or another. Now, whether that's the case or whether there is a little issue that, and they're just trying to keep him safe and sound for the big day at the festival, who knows? But he certainly is an eye-catching horse. He's very, very talented. He's jumped well on a couple of occasions. We've seen him over the fences this year. The only other thing is, though, I think, didn't you say there's a good Irish horse that may well body swerve the Gold Cup and go for the RSA?
Well, No More Heroes is the 5-2
market leader.
No More
Heroes anymore. That one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was unfortunate the other day, wasn't he? You know what I mean? And again, I read something in maybe yesterday's Racing Post regarding Ruby Walsh, you know, last fence hiccups. Listen, that won't worry him one little bit.
No.
The thing is, he's getting a few hiccups at the last fences simply because he's actually in the position to be getting those hiccups, if you understand. It's not like he's out the back door and they're coming down at the last.
No.
He's in the firing line and he's just been unfortunate. And certainly, on no occasion do I ever feel it's been a jockey error that he's come to grief.
No, exactly. I mean, the one the other day, the horse just crumpled on landing a little bit.
Yeah, just knuckled.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one in the Irish Gold Cup, he just got in a bit tight.
Mm.
And you know, you're in a very difficult situation as a jockey when you're going to the last fence looking like you've got the race in the bag, because you have to say to yourself, do I try and see a strike? Oh, 3-2-1, go.
Yeah.
And he overjumps it, or he comes up, doesn't come up for you, or do you say, all I've got to do is get from A to B here now, I just sit still.
Yeah.
And he gets into the bottom and hits the top and tipples over. You know, it's very much a no-win situation.
Yeah.
And sometimes, again, I saw some racing on Saturday and there were some ugly, ugly scenes at the last fences where particular jockey. He knew he only had to get to A to B to win, and that's exactly what he did. But you wouldn't be getting too many of the pictures put up on the mantelpiece, you know?
No. No, I imagine not. Anyway, let's leave it there, Pimmy. Let's get stuck into Thursday's race.
I thought you were never going to ask.
We'll get Pimmy's thoughts.
They're talking about value for money.
Yeah. We're getting some more after this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Thursday's racing. Pimmy's going to look at four races in detail, but before we get stuck into those, Pimmy, I just want to quickly get your thoughts on the Moor Battle Hurdle. Top Notch is going to be a short price favourite. Do you think he'll win that at Kelso?
Yeah, I think he should be the ideal race for him, just to give his confidence a little bit of a boost. He ran a cracker in defeat in the Triumph. He ran really well in the fight in fifth to finish second. Disappointed in the Rel Keel last time out, but I think that was real heavy ground on that occasion, although he's more than going to encounter that sort of surface again tomorrow, providing Kelso passes the inspection. But really and truly, if this were a handicap, he'd be giving loads of weight all round. It should be just a real school round confidence booster.
Right, so we expect Top Notch to win the Moor Battle Hurdle. Another of the big races at Kelso on Thursday is the 3 or 5, which is the Ivan Straker Memorial Chase, a Class 2 event over 3.25 miles. Some good recent winners of this, Pimmy. Holywell won it last year, as we mentioned. Long Run the year before.
Yep.
Four in the lineup this year. What do you think wins it this time?
Well, for me, it's certainly not a stronger race this year, as we've seen in the past. You've got certainly not got no Holywell. You got Sol. You saw him in an epic battle. That's all I can class that as, at Sandown last time out, when he beat Arkham by a neck. That was a wonderful handicap chase on that occasion. Union East, he's not had things going quite the same way as you'd have liked him. Hasn't won since January of 2014, I think it was. But again, he's an interesting horse. Corin Woods, disappointed, a lot to find. And as to his Neptune Equestria. So really and truly, providing that run by Sol, because it was a real hard race for him, as long as it hasn't left any scars on him, I feel he can get the job done tomorrow afternoon. And again, it's a real shame that shows the dearth of good horses in the north of England, when, you know, David Pipe and Nichols head the market with their two, and the two horses that are running round for prize money are both trained in the north.
The 3.55 at Leicester is where we're going next. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. A field of 80 appearance, so at least this one's a little bit more competitive. Who'd you like in there?
Yeah, very competitive little race over 2.5 miles. I'm going to side with the David Pipe runner here, Pride of the Castle. Won off a mark of 124 last time. Only £4 here, higher than that. And it could be a little bit more to come from him. Obviously, Stiletto is going to be interesting. Was a winner at Catterick a couple of runs ago. Fell when travelling well last time out. I'm just slightly concerned, the Paul Nichols' yards well-being, you know what I mean? They're a little bit topsy-turvy. And, you know, they're certainly not firing all cylinders, in my opinion.
OK, so do you play Pride of the Castle?
Pride of the Castle for the Pipe team.
The third race we look at is the 6.40 at Chelmsford City. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 2 miles, and we've got a field of 10 here, Pimmy. So who do you side with in this stayers handicap? It's a real informed runner in Korg, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. But, I mean, Lord Korg, blimey, he's off a mark of 75 now. He said his winning ways off 52. Had some of the high-profile jockeys on him in the past. Josephine Gordon, very good value for a £5, takes the mount tomorrow evening. And, again, very much informed, very much confidence high. So certainly a player is at Korg tomorrow. But I'm going to take him on with Daisy Boy, just £2 higher than when he won last time out. He's from a very much informed yard of Stuart Williams. And I think the pilot, Aaron Jones, is good value for his £5.
Daisy Boy then, the selection for Pimmy in the 6.40. And the final race we'll look at is the 7.10 at Chelmsford City. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. We've got some informed runners here as well. Pimmy Superstar arrives chasing the hat-trick. Bold Prediction won last time out as well. Either of those two make the shortlist?
Very much so. Both of them make the shortlist, to be fair, Mark. And again, he's deciding, do I go Superstar, which is obviously named after you, or do I go for Bold Prediction? One off 75, Bold Prediction up to 85. And again, the Michael Appleby runner Superstar off a mark of 89 tomorrow with that £12 penalty. But again, Appleby leads the trainer's title for the all-weather surface so far this season. His horses are in good form. But I just feel that Bold Prediction might be a little bit more to come from him. And the older horse, Old Pecan, got Cameron Noble, £7 claim on board him tomorrow. He might just like find things his own way with the inexperienced pilot. Just make helping run into a place again tomorrow. But he's very much a horse that's been there, done that, got the two-shirt, one Pecan.
But of the runners here, you're going to lean towards bold prediction, do you say?
Bold prediction, most certainly, yeah.
Okay. Good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. with Stephen Powell, Andrew Mount and Gary Capewell in the studio. Hopefully we'll have three jumpers in the afternoon, Fontwell, Kelso and Leicester, and all weather racing in the evening from Chelmsford City as well. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.